Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
SB 948, Local Government Land Development Regulations and Orders by Senator McLean, and you're recognized.
One of the things that I've heard recently is 30% of the cost of a new home is either through government, is because of government regulation or fees. We have a shortage. We have a shortage of housing. We've not caught up.
All right. There is a bill that you probably have not heard about yet. Ask me how I know, because I hadn't heard of it. And it seemed like most people hadn't heard of it. And I happened to be listening to Community Affairs was, and the reason I was listening to the Senate Community Affairs Committee last week was because Don Gates had his bill, the one that would undo the mistake where all of the counties were prohibited and the cities were prohibited from enacting land development code reforms because we were all in emergencies after the hurricane, and the idea was to protect people and their ability to rebuild, and we wanted to exempt all the counties that weren't actually affected by the hurricanes, which is smart legislation. It's to fix a mistake where the state overreached last year. And so it's good, okay? But I was listening to that, and I had it recorded because I didn't have anything better to listen to, frankly. I was listening to the rest of the meeting, and they start talking about this weird bill, SB 948. And I didn't know the bill. I hadn't been familiar with it. And they were saying some really weird things about the bill because they were talking about it changing the building codes or the zoning and land development and, you know, future land use and all of this. And Rebecca O'Hara from the Florida League of Cities.
This bill, however, it forces a strict residential zoning code on every city and county, even if there's no housing deficit in the area. It applies to existing neighborhoods. It applies to new subdivisions. It applies to greenfield areas, regardless of context, regardless of location or availability of infrastructure or services. Among other things, it requires every single lot to be limited to 1,200 square feet.
What?
Those lots will be subject to dimensional requirements of 20 feet by 20 feet.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What? There's a bill in the Senate that's made it through a committee. This was the first committee stop. That's made it through a committee that would mandate lot size for the entire state at 1,200 square feet? Wait a minute. Where's Michelle when we need her? I don't have Michelle's sound clip pulled up.
What,
give me a second. Yeah. Like, the what? And it's passed a committee? So, yeah, you know, I went to look to find out, like, what in the world are we talking about here?
What, the Florida?
So, and it's going to override all of your state or all of your local, county, and city zoning. It's going to mash every residential area up into the same thing where it's not, you know, 1,200 square foot lot size as a maximum. And I thought, are you what? So I went and read the bill, okay? And it's a long, it's not that long. It's like 20 pages, okay? The Florida Starter Homes Act. The Florida Starter Homes Act is created to make home ownership, renting, and leasing more affordable for the residents of the state by increasing the supply of housing for the residents of the state. Because the median price of homes has increased steadily in the decade preceding this year, rising at a greater rate than the increase of the median income in the state, there's a housing shortage in the state, constitutes a real threat to the health, safety, and welfare of the residents of the state. The shortage has caused the cost of home ownership, renting, and leasing to often exceed an amount that is affordable for residents of the state. Housing shortages caused to a significant extent by regulations governing residential lots, which have been imposed by local governments without a compelling government interest. So such regulations substantially burden the basic right under the state constitution to acquire, possess, and protect property. Cities and counties are making it so we don't have affordable housing. That's the allegation. Single-family detached homes, single-family attached homes, townhouses, duplex, triplexes, and quads are affordable starter homes for residents of the state to own, rent, or lease. Regulations governing residential lots, which have been imposed by local governments, do not encourage a high degree of flexibility relating to residential development, and such regulations prevent the development of starter homes, the aforementioned, on residential lots smaller in size due in part to minimum lot size requirements and restrictions on the type of dwellings allowed to be constructed on residential lots. The important public purpose, so I know this is preamble, but you got to understand where they're coming from. The important public purpose sought to be achieved by allowing starter homes on residential lots that are smaller in size is to increase the supply of housing, which will make home ownership, renting, and leasing more affordable for the residents of this state. This is a follow-on to the Save Our Homes Act, right? This is literally a state law that says you can't stop tiny lot infill housing with a county or a city ordinance. An HOA can stop it. A group of citizens who own property apparently can stop it, but it can't be in the zoning. It can't be in the future land use. Can't be in the land development code. More on this in a second. If you don't understand the significance, I'm saying, like, think of every non-HOA subdivision anywhere, either built out or not built out. Nobody can, the city or the county cannot stop you subdividing the land, because subdividing is a key provision of this act. Approvals are all accelerated, which, generally speaking, I would favor that. But you cannot have a maximum, or you can't have a minimum lot size smaller than 1,200 feet. And there's other things, too. I'll give you the details in a second, but this is a massive, sweeping preemption of basically all of the residential zoning of the state by the state legislature if it passes. And there is a companion bill in the House. So they're not joking about this. I'll come back to it in a second. John, do I have your attention yet?
Oh, yes. Oh, boy.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, so we have still no accidents right now, nor any delays. I-10, I-110, Highway 29, 9 Mile, they're all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
By the way, just to add a little bit of, like, how seriously should you take this, Stan McClain is the chair of the Community Affairs Committee. First stop for the bill. It's his bill. Like, when chairs run bills pass, okay? Chairs don't run bills that lose. So they are, I mean, this is going to get tweaked. It's already had a strike all, which means they've revised it substantially since the first round, but, and it could get revised substantially thereafter, but that's the goal. And by the way, it's fully retroactive to all existing zoning.
Well, number one, the bill is expressly retroactive in nature. That's why it'll invalidate anything that's on the books today. Even existing development standards will now have to meet a compelling governmental interest test. That is a legal standard that is typically reserved for infringements on speech and infringements on religion.
Right. That's a very high standard. The very last six lines in the bill, the section applies retroactively to any local government regulation that is contrary to this section or its intent. This section is remedial and shall be liberally construed to effectuate its intent. Meaning, you don't err on the side of the zoning that exists. You err on the side of this bill sweeps away all that zoning. Any local government regulation contrary to this section is void and unenforceable to the extent that it conflicts with this section. So what does it specifically do? Well, it's got a whole bunch of provisions in here. I'll share some of them with you because, again, I think this is pretty important. A local government may not impose a regulation that governs residential lots. May not impose, not create, impose, and retroactive, okay? So cannot apply, cannot enforce, unless such regulation is in furtherance of a compelling governmental interest. That's not going to be that the residents want large lots. That will not cut it. And the least restrictive means of furthering that compelling governmental interest. If a residential lot is connected to public water and a sewer system, that's your key threshold. If you have access to water and sewer, or will be connected to it as part of a split plan or a subdivision plan, a local government may not impose a regulation that does any of the following. So anywhere you've got sewer and water hookup, all of this applies. You cannot require a minimum lot size greater than 1,200 square feet for existing lots, lots created by lot split, or lots created by subdivision. Can't require lots. 1,200 square feet is tiny for a lot. It prohibits, limits, or otherwise restricts the development of starter homes. That's all the quads, tries, duplexes. You can't limit those. You can put those on any residential lot anywhere in the state, even one as small as 1,200 square feet. You could pop it straight up. You could do a little mini apartment complex on the lot. Like, that's what it's saying. Prohibit, let's see, requires a minimum setback that is greater than 0 feet from the sides, 10 feet from the rear, 20 feet from the front, or zero from the back, from the front if lot limits or abuts a shared space. So lot limits are completely eradicated. You know, the setback is the distance between the property line and the structure line. So zero sides. So think about when you go to a city and you see homes, like right next to homes with a gap of a foot between them or not at all. That's what this envisions. As a possibility, you know, and you can't require otherwise. Requires a minimum dimension of a lot, including its width and depth, to exceed 20 feet. If so, 20-foot wide lots at max, that's all you can require, as long as it meets the overall 1,200, so 20 by 60, okay? Requires more than 30% of lot area to be reserved for open space or permeable surface, so you're sweeping away all of your stormwater and drainage requirements. Requires a building height less than 3 stories or 35 feet above grade. So, you know, you don't have height limits allowed anymore. 3 stories or foot of the flood elevation. Requires the property owner to occupy the property. No more homestead requirement. You can have, you know, which is, I mean, renters allowed. You cannot do anything to discourage that or prohibit that. So vacation rentals, right? All of that. Requires a minimum size for a starter home, which is greater than that required by the Florida Building Code. So tiny homes, as long as they're allowed by the Florida Building Code. Requires a maximum residential density, typically measured in dwelling units per acre, which is more restricted than the requirements of this subsection. So you know how you have like one lot, one building per acre, or two, or four, or eight? I did not do the math. I think it's probably in the like 15 per acre vicinity. It's 1,200 square feet, but John, would you just do a real quick lookup of how many square feet are in an acre? Because that'll help me. I just don't know it off the top of my head. But that's, you can't have any density limits lower than that. I mean, are you grasping what this is saying? This is an unbelievably sweeping statewide preemption of all your zoning and land use regulations. You can't require parking spaces greater than one per residential dwelling unit for lots that are 400,000 square feet or less. Or any minimum number of parking spaces for residences within a half mile of a bus stop. So, you know, we just we enacted like multiple spaces per unit last year in Escambia County. That goes away if this passes. Anybody close to a bus stop, you can't even require parking. How many square feet in an acre?
43,560.
Okay, yeah, I was about right. It's about 14, 15 per acre. Every lot is maximum required. The smallest you can mandate is 1,200 square feet. So you're talking like 15 units per acre is your zoning for residential with up to, you know, multiple stories, no problem. Multiple density, no problem. No setbacks, no parking requirements, no stormwater requirements. Like all of that goes away. It's retroactive. So everything that already exists, this is not, you know, prospective looking towards things that happen in the future. This is everything that exists. Stan McLean, the bill sponsor.
I am usually loath to mandate cities and counties. The reality is we've had decades of planning in the state of Florida with housing elements in those comprehensive plans, and those cities and counties simply haven't stepped up to the plate to ensure that that housing is being constructed.
So I understand that slice of the argument, you know, cities and counties have done not enough to make sure there's affordable housing. But this is like sweeping all the chess pieces off the board and saying, screw you, it's over, they can do anything they want. This is a builder's bill of builder's bills. And look, I don't mind the builders. I like the builders. They made the house I live in. They made the house in the... I'm not against development, but this is basically taking all the, you know, decades of work that have gone into making zoning and, you know, building codes, and a lot of which is problematic, no doubt. And a lot of which causes increased cost, no doubt. But this just says, screw it, no rules. Holy cow. John, you're listening to me explain this. Am I overstating the case?
No, you were.
It's unbelievable. That is, lot splits must be approved by right if the lot split objectively complies with the requirements of this section. So somebody comes in, they've got an acre lot. They can split it and split it and split it down to 1,200 square feet, and you can't stop them. You must allow it. no matter where it is, no matter what else it's next to.
I'm just speechless.
I know. The only thing it doesn't thwart is, like I said, HOAs or condos or whatever associations from having sort of self-regulation. It's cities and counties specifically. It's the local government can't do this stuff. So, yeah, the Florida League of Cities is concerned. Sam Abel in the meeting last night, you know, it's kind of interesting because I had started to get concerned just because I happened to be listening to this meeting. Florida League of Cities is asking cities to sign a letter opposing this. And, you know, Sam talked about it last night and said, yeah, we oppose this. Holy cow. You know, so, man, this is wild.
What, the Florida?
John Pickens has traffic on the fives. And, if you know, and look, I understand not everybody understands all of these issues and building codes and land development codes and stormwater. And I understand. For some of you, I'm like, you've never even heard anybody talk about this stuff before. And that's fine. I understand. But for those of you who understand what I'm talking, you're losing your mind, I would think. Or maybe you think, we need it. We just need housing. I don't care. He's right. They're right. Do it. Okay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still no accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. I-10, I-110, 90, 98 all look good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All these Republicans in the State House that ran on home rule. Huh.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, dinner and an aria at Jackson's, Pensacon at the Fish House, Valentine's Day at the Great Southern, and so much more. Tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola right now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
All who gain power are afraid to lose it. Even the Jedi.
Even the Republicans in the Senate and the House. 628 on News Radio 92.3.
Even the Republicans.
Informative. Even the Republicans. Yes. All right, I've got a lot of texts that are flowing. I can't even get to all of them, but basically people are losing their minds. Like, yeah. Oh, by the way, my math was so completely wrong. It was 36 per acre if 43,000 square feet is an acre, and the maximum lot size you can require by ordinance is 1,200. That's 36 dwelling units per acre everywhere in the state that isn't covered by an HOA.
Cool.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I was just checking on yesterday's Kenya Day at the Golf Breeze. It looked like she agreed with Punxsutawney Phil on six more weeks of winter.
Kenya the giraffe, not the country.
Right. Kenya the giraffe.
Okay.
Hold on here. Where am I at?
Yeah, these prognosticators are pretty consistent, you know, telling us we're going to get more cold we're already getting.
They are.
Yeah, look, these animal weathermen and weather women, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Weather persons, weather beings.
That's right. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says body cams are being issued to immigration agents. Noem posting on X yesterday to make that announcement, saying that as funding is available, the body cams will be issued out, and that's also going to be expanded to federal agents nationwide. Elon Musk's SpaceX is acquiring artificial intelligence company xAI, which also owns the X social media platform. Combining the two companies, Elon Musk owns both of them. He said in a press release that it's aimed at pursuing AI data centers in outer space.
No, all right. Well, what did Pete Hegseth say? You know, whoever controls the high ground controls the battle, and space is the new high ground. Oh, just for this 1,200 square feet, I know when you think about land, you're like, what does that mean? How big is your house? I mean, a normal smallish house is like 1,500 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot that is smaller than your house will become the statewide maximum requirable lot size.
Gianna Delosi, the search for the mother of today's show host Savannah Guthrie continues in Tucson, Arizona. Investigators believe the 84-year-old was likely abducted from her home in the middle of the night Saturday.
The Pima County Sheriff says given the nature of the crime scene at Nancy Guthrie's home, he believes she was taken by force with evidence pointing in the direction of her being harmed in the process, and it's a race against the clock. The 84-year-old has medical conditions that require medication, and if doses are missed, it can be fatal.
Fox's Alicia Cunha. Now the House is gearing up for a vote today that could end the now four-day-long government shutdown.
The House made progress overnight with a key committee advancing the government package. That sets up a procedural rule vote this morning. This will determine how the chamber will handle the bill on the floor.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 here at News Radio 92.3. We've got partly cloudy skies, 40 degrees. We'll get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson's got that in just a few moments. Escambia County Commissioners will be discussing customary usage of beaches on Perdido Key this week. Last year, Governor DeSantis repealed a 2018 law that allowed beachfront property owners to close off portions of the beach. The new law put the power of regulating beach access into the hands of local governments. Commissioners will discuss what portions of private property along Perdido Key could be designated for customary use. People on both sides of that issue are expected to be on hand at the meeting for that discussion. A specially trained otter assisted the Pensacola Police Department Monday in the search for a missing woman. Splash is a small clawed Asian otter. Trained for underwater human remains and evidence detection. Splash has been deployed nationwide and has six confirmed finds. Police were searching near the Mahogany Mill boat ramp after receiving a lead about 37-year-old Robin Whitmire. A canine had alerted in the area, but not strong enough to deploy Splash. Whitmire was later found, though, in a different location with no foul play involved. Speaking of that, speaking of the Mahogany Mill boat ramp, dive teams also removing what turned out to be an inert training munition from the water near that boat ramp. Escambia Sheriff's Office dive team responding yesterday morning to a report of a possible torpedo over by the pier. The area was secured. EOD teams responded. After evaluating the object, Hurlburt Field Airmen determined the object was not, in fact, an explosive device. The sheriff's office does remind the public, if you find anything like that, not to touch it and contact law enforcement immediately. Well, a federal judge blocking the termination of Haiti's temporary protected status, U.S. District Judge Anna Reyes, granting that motion that prevents the hundreds of thousands of Haitian immigrants from becoming eligible for deportation. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem ordered the termination of the protected status that was set to end at midnight tonight. It's left more than 300,000 Haitians who benefit from the status at risk of being detained and deported back to their home country. Judge Reyes also said that Haitian TPS holders contribute substantial revenue to the Florida economy, generating over $5 billion in taxes annually. It is 6:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a quick check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We
are going to be seeing temperatures today getting into the mid to upper 60s for this afternoon. Partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Wednesday, 70% chance of showers, especially in the morning and early afternoon. Clearing out as you go into the rest of the day, high near 62. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 32 degrees. As you head into Thursday, sunny skies, high near 51. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 35. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 40 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies, and 635 at News Radio. Checking in with John Pickens for a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Florida West. Economic development is about building our economy for all current and future residents. And this is a traffic report is presented by the Florida West Economic Development Alliance. Let's see here. Just one accident on the big board right now. Pine Forest, and I hate to say this, but Detroit Boulevard. I that's for you, Andrew. But other than that, there's no road blockage associated with that one. But you might see some minor delays on 29 in Detroit. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Well, are you trying to say it the right way and failing, or are you trying to say it the wrong way, or what?
I'm trying to
say it the right way. It sounds good.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't sound wrong. You're doing it right.
Okay. But I just knew that you don't like the way I say it, so I had to do it.
Detroit.
Okay. All right. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. It's 636 at News Radio 92.3. Our next news is at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are moderately higher on U.S. and Iran de-escalation and easing supply worries. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $62.48 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $66.57 per barrel. Gold and silver prices rebounded this morning after suffering a historic sell-off, with analysts suggesting that the recent corrections were more a positioning reset than a sustained downturn. Gold futures were last up over 6%, hovering at around $4,900. Spot silver rose nearly 10% to $86.96 per ounce. Merck reported fourth quarter earnings and revenue that topped estimates on strong demand for its cancer immunotherapy Keytruda and some newer products. The results come as Merck slashes $3 billion in costs by the end of 2027 and prepares to offset revenue losses from the upcoming patent expiration of Keytruda in 2028. Futures are currently mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 515. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
The question is, do we add Pledge and Prayer to tonight? And if so, where do we add it? Because in the past, we had it as in the executive meeting, which was removed from our schedule. I don't believe we had it on Thursday night, and I think because we didn't have it at the committee of the whole, I think there's been a drop-off of that. And from what I understand, with feedback that's been received, the city council has asked the boards to open their meetings with pledge and prayer.
Okay. I have to apologize to you in advance, or slightly after the fact. This is not going to be a very satisfying episode of Days of Our Milton. Because there's not a lot of drama. There's not a lot of bickering and fighting. In fact, one of the members of the Pitchfork Posse recently nudged me about on Facebook, says, when are you going to talk about how the city council is running smoothly these days? And it is. It is. I mean, when you eliminate your opposition, it's easy to run smoothly, which is what's happened. But it's true. It's running. You know, it's all genial and happy for the most part. There's very little yelling and bickering and name-calling, and nobody's calling anybody fat, you know, which has happened in the past. Anyway, so Days of Our Milton is in jeopardy. I just tell you, it is. You know, no. What Scott Collins couldn't kill, an election may have.
No. So
we'll see. But the issue here is actually, I think this is really interesting. This is one of those, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I wanted to talk about it with you, kind of, and I wanted to wait till John, till you got back, because I thought this would be a good brain warp for you. You ready?
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay. So here's the question she's getting at. Heather Lindsay, the mayor, is saying, okay, when should we have an invocation, a prayer, and also when should we have a pledge in our meetings? And in case you're wondering, the city of Milton has basically two different meeting formats. They have a work session, which is on a Thursday, once a month, I think, typically. And then they have a city council meeting, which is on a Tuesday once a month, but the city council meeting is preceded by a work session. So it's like, there's like a intermediate meeting to kind of figure out what we're doing, and then there's an agenda review, and then there's on the same day as a city council meeting. You follow? Okay. So what she's saying is, well, when should we have a prayer? When should we have an invocation and also the pledge at these various meetings? Because you kind of understand where this is going, or maybe you don't, is at the city council meeting proper, you know, the big official meeting where they sit up on the dais and they stand up and do the pledge and they have a pastor come over, it makes sense to have a prayer and a pledge, right?
Right.
What about an hour before that when the work session convenes and they're all just kind of sitting around a table? Well, you know, if it's worth praying over the city council meeting, you would think it's sort of worth praying before the work session. Because, you know, do you not want God involved in the work session? And if it's worth saying the pledge as a way of reaffirming your loyalty to the principles of the Constitution, the country, the Republic, the state of Florida, you know, like, in the regular meeting to remind you of your solemn duty and the oath you took of office, well, you don't want that before the work session? And what about on Thursdays when you don't have an official voting meeting, but you still do business. Don't you want a prayer and a pledge? I mean, who doesn't want a prayer and a pledge kind of all the time?
I'm comfortable with just adding it to whatever the first meeting is on this all Thursday meeting. So yeah. it would be in CRA, right. But whichever one comes first, right. We'll just add it to that meeting.
And then we wouldn't have pledge and prayer at the beginning of Sundial or at the beginning of this, because
just
you would
one
have
time.
Already done the pledge and we would have already had an invocation.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And so just at the first meeting on whichever one it is on Thursday.
So you also have Community Redevelopment Agency meetings. You also have Sundial Utilities meetings. They are separate things. Do you just go at the first one? Do you go at all three? Do you go at the most official of the three? How many pastors do you invite to come down to City Hall on a Thursday or a Tuesday? You know, because scheduling them is sometimes a challenge. Is it good enough to just have a city council member lead the prayer or the silent moment or what? You know, you see what I'm getting at? Like, where do you draw the line of this meeting is important enough that it needs and justifies and is right to have a prayer and or a pledge? And then which of the other meetings, like, don't really rise to the level of God caring about them? Don't really rise to the level of thinking about reminding ourselves of our sacred duty to the Constitution. So that's the question. I want to talk about it a little bit with you. 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the phone. You see, it's not really a Days of Our Milton episode. I'd never thought much about it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the city of Milton in there, you know, kind of dithering over
wisdom.
When it got me thinking, okay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Seeing some minor delays on 98 going eastbound as you approach Windhaven Beach. But other than that, things look good. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you've got a good quality car that you want to sell, Frontier Motors buys good quality cars because they sell good quality used cars. Cars that are, you know, a year to 3 or 4 years young, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles. Cars that you're going to be the second or third owner, or if you are the first owner and you would like to get rid of it, they buy them quick, 15 minutes. You know, they've got 300 on the lot, about. They sell about half every month. Well, in order to sell 150 cars, you've got to, say it with me, buy 150 cars. So if you've got cars to sell, they have the need to buy them, right? And we're talking good cars, okay? The kind of cars they warranty to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they're A-conditioned cars, really good cars, low miles, been treated well. That's the kind of car you buy. A car that, you know, you don't want to pay new car prices, but you want to get something close, like almost new. That's what they specialize in. We bought one from them. It had 12,000 miles. It was a year young off of a lease that came back to the dealership in Orlando, and that didn't sell it in, you know, I think it was 60 days, 45 days, something like that. Went up for auction. Frontier bought it. We bought it that easy. They sell cars that you're going to enjoy for a long time and that you're going to want to come back and buy another one from them. And, I mean, if you like to do it every couple of years, that's fine. But if you want to wait 15 years, that's fine too. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, resetting the question for you, 437-1620. Milton City Council raising the issue of, well, when exactly for meetings should we have a prayer and a pledge? Should we have a prayer and a pledge at every meeting? Because God and the Constitution and the flag and reminding us of our oath matters at every meeting? You would think, at which meeting? Because, you know, if you have meetings prior to the city council meeting, it's weird to have a city council meeting where you wouldn't have it. But do you do it multiple times? You know, do you do the pledge at all three meetings, two meetings, the work session, and then at the regular one? Because you kind of want to say, like, well, you can't say the pledge too often. You can't have too much prayer, you know. What about committee meetings that happen other like boards in the city? You would think same thing, right? Again, which meeting is it that doesn't deserve a prayer? You know, which meeting is it where it's not appropriate to get people re-centered on the pledge? 437-1620. John?
Oh, we should do it before every meeting.
So if the city manager sits down with the director of public works, should they have a prayer?
Well, I would, but...
Should they say the pledge?
Well, I thought we were talking about the city council.
I am, but why do you say the pledge at the city council meeting?
To remind them of their oath?
And their duty and their relationship to the country and the citizens? Why shouldn't the city manager and the public works director stand up in their two-person meeting and find a flag and pledge so that they can recenter themselves?
You know what? We'll do that just for you. We will. Andrew.
I mean, it. You see the logic. If it's important at all, then it's important to do at the big meeting. And if it's important to do at the big meeting, then it's important to do at the small meeting. And if it's important to do at the small meeting, then it's important to do at the tiny meeting.
I got you now. Yeah.
And, you know, if we're having a staff meeting or if we're having a review of a personnel decision or if we're, I don't know, would you do it on a phone call when you're talking? I mean, it's funny because it's, oh, well, Andrew, come on, that's ridiculous. But why is it ridiculous? Because God doesn't care about a two-person meeting? Because the Constitution doesn't care about your two-person meeting? Because people don't need to be recentered all the time? Well, it becomes impractical. I get it. But when does it exactly become impractical? That's the line-drawing question. 437. I have more thoughts. You would not be surprised to find I have more thoughts. 437-16.
Really?
20, yeah. You? I know it's right. somebody says, let's see. I don't know what that is. Let's see. No, that's a different question. Somebody's asking, has the mayor ever released her text messages? Oh, no. If you have faith in God, all meetings should have a prayer. Just like all meals, right? You know, you pray before mm-hmm. every meal. You know, is no what meal is too insignificant for you to pray in front? But you know that you don't pray in front of every meal. John, are you a meal prayer, John?
Yes and no.
Okay.
It just like not
you pray,
for
you pray
snacks.
Before you eat a chip?
No.
You pray before every drink of coffee?
No.
Do you bless the coffee itself?
Well, I should, I guess.
But see, right? Like you think,
where
you know,
is that? Yeah.
Right. How big of a meal, how much of a drink does it need to be before it deserves a prayer? And is it, you know, does one prayer cover you for the whole meal? What if you sip the coffee? You know, if it's in your Yeti and you sip it 2 hours later, do you pray again?
Pray again. Yeah. Where? Oh. Do you think you forgot?
These are, you know, Andrew, I don't like the way you make me think about this. Good. Welcome to my world. All right. Somebody says,
I know.
Let's see. You just cannot win with this one. It's too complicated. It's not that it's too complicated. It's that it's too simple. It's really very simple. If prayer matters before a meeting, then prayer matters before a meeting. And that's true whether it's a meeting of 1,000 people or 100 people or 20 people or 2 people, you know? At what point does mandating it become infeasible? Does it become an infringement of people's individual liberty, right to religion or non, right to speech or non? No, I could see you not mandating it. But you can also see a situation where 3 people get together for a meeting and somebody's like, I think we should pray. I think we should say the pledge. And would you want to be the person that's like, nah, it's just 3 of us? starts to feel a little wrong, right? Like that doesn't quite seem to capture it. 437-1620. let's see. Somebody says prayer time at zoning board meetings emphasizes the fact that we're all neighbors and should all treat each other accordingly. This is a good opportunity to reinforce that. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you my answer to this question is I think that, and this is a little bit of a cop out. You'll appreciate this though. Any sunshine meeting should get a prayer and a pledge. So any meeting that you've got a notice. You know, that you've got that you have elected officials meeting together on, or even appointed officials meeting together on the same board. So any board or commission or council meeting that is sunshine governed should have a prayer and a pledge. And
why did you say that like 10 minutes ago before you started asking me questions?
Well, but that's a practical solution. That doesn't solve the conceptual problem.
Right.
I mean, why wouldn't the, you know, Monday staff meeting not get a prayer and a pledge?
I think we need to bring that up to Mary, too. our monthly staff meetings.
That's right. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you want that real New Orleans barbecue experience, don't go to New Orleans.
No.
No. Instead, head to Voodoo Barbecue for that real New Orleans flavor.
In Pensacola?
Yep. Voodoo Barbecue is locally owned, locally staffed, and serves barbecue the way it was meant to be. Cajun style, fall off the bone ribs, pulled pork packed with flavor, the way barbecue was meant to taste. Oh, yeah. Plus sides with that New Orleans flair.
Where?
On 9 Mile Road in the Target Shopping Center. Online at voodoobbq.com. Come taste the magic and get your mm-mms ready.
I'm ready. Hear that? That's Mike. He took ZzzQuil Pure Z's, so now he's sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. ZzzQuil Pure Z's are fast-acting melatonin gummies with a complimentary botanical blend to help Mike get the sleep he needs to wake up refreshed and ready to conquer Monday.
Let's do this, Monday.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's. Just for sleep. Really great sleep.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in Thursday at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This is Rush. Oh, be cold, train. I got them Duke boys this time. I really got them.
John's upset that I didn't play the theme song for the Dukes of Hazzard after the drop from Uncle Jesse, or well, from Jethro, I guess.
No, Roscoe. That's Roscoe.
Yeah. It'd be too much.
No, it's not. It's a just natural a progression.
John. Just a little, John. A little taste.
I know, but then
a little
you're
ear
like...
candy for you. You know, to make you miss those Daisy Dukes. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. But if you're on I-10 eastbound in that construction area between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 7-minute delay. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5. I see you smiling.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The trust is actually...
We'll get back to him in the meanwhile. But in the meanwhile, I do think there's some comment for you.
Come on, stink guy, John.
It's good to have you back. It is good to have you back. All right. Let's see. What else do we have going on? No. Oh, Texas A&M is canceling its women's and gender studies degree program. Just done.
A&M had one?
Enrollees can continue. They can finish their degree, and that's normal. Whenever you cancel a degree program, which is, you know, common enough, it doesn't happen every day, but the UWF is creating some degrees and getting rid of a degree. I forget the name of the one they're getting rid of, but that happens. The administrators say, we know this is devastating news, that we're getting rid of the women's and gender studies degree programs. One of the primary duties of university administrators is to be good stewards of public money. Even the smallest programs require ongoing investment in faculty, time, staff support, and administrative oversight. And that's true. You know, costs time and money and takes up university resources to do it. They say that it's new restrictions on curriculum topics imposed by the state and also a lack of student interest, which is the normal reason that degree programs go away. So they'll be allowed to complete. But, yeah, Texas A&M is going, they're unwoking themselves. Unwaking? They're going back to sleep? I don't know. I feel like there's a better word here. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Federal immigration agents will be getting body cameras soon. That announcement made yesterday by Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Elon Musk is merging a couple of his companies, XAI, which owns the Grok chatbot, and his X social media platform. And apparently they're pursuing this as a possible step towards creating AI data centers in outer space. So that'll be interesting. Investigations are continuing in Arizona. This is in the Tucson area where Today Show host Savannah Guthrie's mother is now missing. 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie was reported missing Sunday. Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos says that the home is now a crime scene. He told reporters that investigators believe She was taken from the home against her will.
You know what's interesting about the data storage centers in outer space concept? If you think about Starlink satellites and non-wired based communications, what's the biggest cost issue involved in data centers? The cooling, right?
Right.
Well, you don't have to cool them in outer space.
No, you don't.
That's true.
It's already super cold. So that's just
that's
not a challenge.
That, issue.
That solves the problem, right? Cheaper to launch them than cool them.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.